Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're really going to get into Mel Kiper's mock draft today. I think I said that about three times last week. We never quite got there.
We have time? When is the draft?
The draft is coming up next week.
Is it really that quick?
Next Thursday.
Wow. Yeah, I guess we need to get into that.
Yeah, next Thursday is round one. So we could talk about that. He did a two-round mock draft. Kind of tell you where the quarterbacks are, where maybe your favorite team, what he has slotted in there for your team. NBA playoffs started this weekend. Man, Celtics-Nets was fun. That's going to be a good one. Thunder end up with two lottery picks after the Clippers went down on a Friday night, so that's good news if you're an Oklahoma City fan. We'll see what Jared did this weekend. Also, some big games today on the high school baseball field.
Today.
Top four teams in District 4A4 going at it with Clinton and Kingfisher, Elk City, and Weatherford.
That's right.
The Elks are one win away from securing the district title, and which would mean hosting a regional for the first time since 2002.
Oh, that brings back memories. Painful ones at that.
You were probably there, Jared.
Oh, I was there.
Were you here at that regional?
I was in the dugout, brother.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
For the end, it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm telling you. Who was the stud Elk City had 20 years ago?
Stud what?
Player. Dude could hit. What was his name?
Matt Yost.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it was to the point, didn't matter what the situation was, it was put him on.
Even if his base is loaded.
Put him on. We lost by a run.
Put him on. They're tired of having to re-roof the Great Plains Bank out there in right field.
That was an interesting season. We could not beat Elk City that year. Of course, for those who don't know, I went to Clinton. But that particular game, it was nip and tuck the entire way. And when he came up the bat, it was put him on. And it kept us in it. But I forgot the final score. It was a run. It was a tough one. But I've since gotten over it.
I don't think that that's true, Jared. It does not feel as if that is a true statement that you're making at the moment.
Well, come on. We all know where we were the last time we played our sport competitively, right? Whether it be football, basketball, baseball, golf, wherever. You knew where it was at a high school. You know what I mean? So that was it. That was the place for me. So, and then that night I went to a prom, and I wasn't all there in my head, you know? It was still lingering with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize to my date if she's listening because I was just like, I don't care. I just don't care. Was not in the mood. Anyways, I've let it go.
No, I don't think so.
I have.
Maybe this is going to end up being a therapy session for you to actually let it go.
I've let it go.
We don't have Jim today. He texted me this morning and said he was not feeling the greatest. So he'll try to be back with us next week. Needed to take some time. I wasn't all there at your prom either.
You were there. I didn't know he was there.
Oh, heavens.
But he was a year ahead of me. So on the text line, we got a texter. He's a year. Yeah, he was an 01 grad. Uh-huh. So anyways.
That is correct.
Okay.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to kadsam.com. The other, Download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. It's got everything right there at your fingertips. Also, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen on Skinny on Sports Podcast, KADSAM, or iTunes for that one. How was your weekend, Jared?
It was eventful. A lot of stuff happening.
Okay, so you went bow fishing.
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
Tell us about bow fishing.
Man, that
was it what you thought it was going to be?
Maybe better. Maybe better. And I'll just, full disclosure, and I'll blame the wind, but I didn't get one fish.
Oh, no.
But listen to me. Listen to me. It was a lot better because I was, as soon as we were done, it was me and my dad and my brother-in-law went. We were like, we're ready to do this again. This was fun. You know, it's kind of like golf, you know, for me anyways. If I have one good shot, I keep wanting to come back. So it was neat. We got out there, you know, Friday night, or Friday was, you know, pretty hot. And then Friday night, it was
like 95.
Yeah, Friday night. I thought this was going to be nice. You know, a little breezy. But then, you know, as typical as it is, the wind kind of lays down right at sunset. I'm like, this is good. And we got out there. We're on the dock. We're getting a little tutorial on how to do this. We're shooting at dummy targets, you know, and getting used to it. And the weather was perfect. I mean, temperature-wise, wind-wise, everything was perfect. Get on the boat. Start trawling out there. My brother-in-law was the first fish we see. My brother-in-law, boom, rears back, boom. First shot into the water. He hits a fish. And we're all like, it's going to be a good night. Mm-hmm. We're going to fill up. We're going to get our limit. We're going to have fun. And then the wind came.
Yeah, switch around to the north then, huh?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Dude, that wind came out of the east, west, north.
Yeah.
And our guide, he was awesome. He was like, hey, listen, I know where we can go to get out of this stuff. He knew all the coves. I mean, we went all the way up north into the river almost. I mean, we were way up there.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like right when we got to said cove, wind would shift again. So it wasn't ideal, I guess, bow fishing conditions. It wasn't ideal fishing conditions. So, but we still saw a lot of wildlife, saw a lot of alligator gar, huge shad. I mean, when we're throwing arrows into the water left and right, but it was so choppy. We kept thinking, man, imagine if we had that perfect night, you know, in the middle of July, and it, you know, and it was cold too, water splashing on us and stuff. But I'd go back. I highly recommend it. That is if you haven't experienced something like that, that's what me and my brother-in-law were talking about. It's like, man, it's just fun just to do something different. Just something that we've never tried before. And that was one of them, and we want to go try it again. So I highly, highly recommend it. The guide is out of Clinton. Just look him up. You'll find him. Promise you he's the only bow fishing guide in Western Oklahoma, and he does a heck of a job knowing where to take us, teaching us how to do it.
Okay, so if it would not, let's say it was a perfect calm evening,
mm-hmm.
would you not still have gone into the shallower water, or what was the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not just going to be out in the middle of the lake doing this, right?
No. You go into the coves where those trees, I remember the drought a few years ago. You had a lot of brush grow up where mm-hmm. the lake was, and the water came back. Well, that is
good spot
perfect.
For her to be hiding.
Yeah. And like I said, we saw a lot. It was just...
What were you trying to... Did it matter what kind of fish it was?
No.
Or just whatever fish you saw, shoot at it?
Just trying to hit a fish. Yeah. Just trying to hit a fish. So, but he did say if he saw... It might have been... bass. He could spot. I mean, he was on this little perch with the spotlight, and he'd say, listen, I tell you not to shoot, don't shoot. You know, don't shoot a turtle, don't shoot, you know, the fun ones are like alligator gar.
Yeah.
So you hit those, and those are fun and pretty
so,
wild.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Once you shoot, how do you get it in? You just got to pull it in with your hands?
You reel it in.
Oh, there's a reel?
No, yeah, there's a reel on this thing.
Okay.
It is really cool. It's really cool. You shoot it, and then you immediately come down, and you start reeling it in. Yeah.
Huh.
It's very similar to, like, a fishing pole. I mean, you'll feel, and it has the drag and everything on it. So maybe a little stronger line.
With this than what
yeah.
you normally have.
The arrow doesn't have, like, feathers on it, you know, and it's a special kind of tip with the barbs on it. And once you get that fish, you can loosen the tip where the barbs go opposite so you can get that fish off of the arrow.
Okay, so it goes clear through it, and then you like
that you pull hope it does, yeah.
Then you like pull it back to where it's like stuck in the other side of their body.
Yeah, when you're trying to reel them in. The tip, and it will make the barbs. It will release them, so where you can get that fish off the pole. But I'd go back. Like I said, our guide felt so bad. It's like, man, it's not a good night. I'll give you another night for free. I'm like, nah, man, this is what you do. So we'll take care of that. But we're going to try to go back when it's warmer and, you know it's going to be calm. And hopefully we get a little rain so we have a lake to go fish on. But I'd do it. I'd do it again over and over again. I highly recommend it. If you're any kind of a sportsman, ever been fishing, want to mix it up, try this bow fishing. It was fun. It was real fun.
Very interesting. What else you do?
Well, we hunted Easter eggs. We found more Easter eggs than fish. The kids did anyways. That was on Saturday evening. Went over the in-laws over, or brother-in-laws over in Merritt. And Saturday, I did nothing. I mean, my kids went to the play, like I said, and I stayed home and read a book. You heard me right. Mm-hmm. I was reading a book. And Sunday, went to my dad's. Had lunch over there, played over there, did another Easter egg hunt over there, shot some guns. I mean, I was very country this weekend. Went fishing, shot some guns. But went to church, obviously, Sunday morning. And yesterday was beautiful. Even had time to clean my truck. So, how about you? Now, I know you had a big week. My phone was blowing up Friday night. You guys, were you making – wasn't able to look at it, but were you making bets? Can you talk about that?
Attempting to make bets. It ended up being a tie. So we didn't, nothing exchanged hands. No, it's always, Easter weekend is alumni weekend at Sayre. So yeah. My wife went to school there. Right. There's always all kinds of different activities. The parade, boy, talk about cold.
Yeah.
It was a rough one there Saturday morning.
Yeah, I really had no intention going outside Saturday if I didn't have to.
It was cold, and then we played golf Saturday afternoon. It was cold.
Oh, man.
It was cold. There's no doubt.
There's no way.
You know, everybody's
no
like,
nice
oh.
way to say it. It was just cold.
Some of the different weather apps were telling us that the wind was going to die down as it moved along throughout the afternoon. They were right. It just was way later than what some of them had said. But no, we had a good time, and then the Dean Jackson Band was out there.
Always
a
good time.
Good food, different food trucks, one of which I'd never heard of before, but it was super good.
Can you tell us what kind of food that truck was?
It's different. It was like steak on a stick kind of, or different foods on a stick. That's what it was called, actually.
Easy walk around food.
But it had some different things than what you're used to. And so hung out there, and then yesterday went to church and then did nothing. After that, I watched a bunch. Do you watch much History Channel?
Oh, sometimes.
There's a show on there right now. This started with, and they've kind of spun this off. The first iteration of all this was The Men Who Built America. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
With Vanderbilt and J.P. Morgan, and right. What's it called? Rockefeller and all that.
Yeah.
So they've spun that off to different things, and now there's the food that built America.
Clever.
And it started out with just like 3 90-minute segments with like Post and Kellogg's and Coca-Cola and how that all came to be.
Okay.
And then McDonald's, you know, kind of the Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, the big names, right? And so then from there, though, it kind of spun off to after those three, and then they do like an hour on different battles that have happened throughout the years of, you know, McDonald's versus Burger King and Coke and Pepsi and all that kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I found myself kind of flipping back between, you know, the NBA playoff game or the golf, and then found that. And I was like, I like those. I mean, there's already like three seasons of this. But yesterday, it was an interesting, some stuff that I had no idea. I think most people are familiar with, or at least have heard of, Dave Thomas.
Of course. Wendy's.
Founder of Wendy's.
Yeah.
You know where he worked first?
Ah, man, I think I've heard this. I can't remember. Where?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, okay.
He had four. He was a franchisee and operated four locations of KFC. And after Colonel Sanders got bought out, he was buddies with Colonel Sanders, though. Dave Thomas and Colonel Sanders were very, like, he was like his protege. Dave was like Colonel Sanders' protege.
Interesting.
And so his four stores are outselling basically everybody, all the other franchisees of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And at this point in the business, it wasn't like it is now. Like, there was the product Kentucky Fried Chicken, but there wasn't the storefront. It was just like what the people that had bought the recipe, it was just something on the menu.
Gotcha.
Not, you know, yeah, in another restaurant,
right,
except for Dave Thomas. He had, and it's what you're used to now, the red and white, you know, Colonel Sanders being used. And you know what else he individually invented?
Square hamburgers? I don't know.
Well, what? That too.
What?
The bucket.
Oh, the bucket.
The KFC chicken bucket to Dave Thomas.
Wow.
Of Wendy's.
That's so funny you're talking about this. We talked about this yesterday after church. I said, let's go get some KFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And so then he had made a deal. He had bought some shares of stock of like essentially like a restaurant provider, you know, not necessarily with food, but with everything.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that had bought KFC told him that it was a conflict of interest because of his position within that corporation,
right,
made him sell him the stock at cost. And then next thing you know, that restaurant supply chain thing goes through the roof, and the $50,000 that he got for selling his shares to the owners of KFC ended up being worth $2-something million. Well, they won't give it back. He quits. And as he quits, goes back to Ohio and decides, watch this. And so then he creates Wendy's.
Wow.
And he is the one. So we owe the bucket of chicken to Dave Thomas for Kentucky Fried Chicken before he ever did Wendy's. You know what else he was the pioneer in?
Instant mashed potatoes?
The drive-through system.
The drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
The drive-through system, the system that is now. He was the one. That there was other places that had like a pickup window, but he invented the idea of ordering here, paying here, and picking up your food here.
Yeah.
And the whole point of his idea to do that was this. It's still going to take the same amount of time. But if you're on the move from one place to the other, you're not just sitting there feeling like you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Very, very. I mean, that's, you know, anyway. That was one of the episodes of that I watched that was really fascinating because I had no idea. Everybody knows who Dave Thomas is for the most part. I mean, did, you know, with Wendy's. But I had no idea that all that other stuff that he was actually with KFC first.
Fun fact, my first job in college was at a KFC.
Was it really?
Yep. And I was the hero of the fourth floor at Coronado Hall at Northwestern Oklahoma State because they knew when I worked, I got to bring home the extra stuff that they didn't sell. Because you know what they do with that? They just throw it out.
Yeah. Okay. So think about this.
And they would say, just take what you want. And I'd load up. I mean, I was a college kid. Poor college kid.
Yeah.
And
right up the alley.
I loaded up almost two buckets.
Buckets of chicken.
And I'd go up the fourth floor. Knock on doors, go, mm-hmm, chicken's here. We go to the lobby area in the fourth floor, just sit down, pop on the TV, and just chow down.
Another thing. You know what a lot of people like at Wendy's?
What's that?
The chili.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
The chili. You know how that came to be?
No.
Because, obviously, their claim to fame is always fresh, never frozen. With the patties.
Right.
Well, he noticed that they were throwing a whole bunch of it away because it was not good for burger. And so the burgers that they didn't sell, if they had them pre-made, you know?
Yeah.
Even ready to fire out the window.
They just make it the chili.
That's how you'd make the chili.
So no waste there.
To cut the waste.
That's awesome.
Cut costs and cut waste.
That's awesome.
And
make a profit.
Turns out the Frosty was always on the menu, if you're wondering.
How many times have we gone to Wendy's just for a Frosty?
A bunch.
Yeah.
So that was
interesting.
There was also one about the guys that did Subway. That was super. They were like.
Not that one guy.
Not Jared. I'm talking about the dudes that thought of it.
Okay.
That
guy really brought us.
They were like research scientists.
Really?
And so they would, yeah. And so that's why it's so like efficient.
Right.
You know.
Huh.
You know, they were the first ones that literally you got to see your stuff being made, if you think about that.
That's true.
And customize it however you want it.
Right. What about like, what about like a hibachi grill? I mean, is that not?
Well, it spun off from what people saw that.
Yeah. You know,
as far as just the customization of everything. I mean, it's like when you think about it, it's just so old hat now because it's, you know, Subway. You go to Subway and they make your sandwich.
Right. Get in line.
But
point out what you
back
want.
In the 70s.
Oh, but that was awesome.
Well, yeah.
What?
You'd never had that choice.
Are you surprised there's not more restaurants like that with other food, like pizza?
I think there are.
You know what I mean? You go, okay, I want some cheese, I want some olives, I want some pepperoni, you know, and then they just throw it in the oven.
I mean, you just do that in the order process now.
Sure.
Through an app or whatever.
But you could go, a little more cheese. A little more. Okay, thank
right,
you.
Right.
You know, just kind of like how, like, when they're putting on ranch on my sandwich, go, a little more. A little salt and pepper, please.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a pizza place like that.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's everything like that.
It has to be.
But they owe it all. And did you know this? Subway is the largest restaurant chain in the world.
I did not know that.
But you think about it.
You would have thought McDonald's.
You would think McDonald's.
Yeah.
But it's Subway.
Wow. We need to be careful. We could talk about food for the entire hour.
Man, that show is all. I mean,
I need to check this out.
History Channel? It's History Channel. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Just the different. I think there was. We finally got tired of learning, and it was time to shoot him up, bang him up with an episode of 24 last night. But it was the newest one was about Orville Redenbacher.
Oh, wow.
And I guess it took him 40 years to grow the exact right corn that he wanted to make popcorn.
Wow. Wow. Final note on food and history. Watch the movie The Founder.
Oh, man.
With Michael Keaton.
Yeah, you hate Michael Keaton by the time that one's over.
Him or the actual guy? Ray Kroc. hey, man, sometimes business is cutthroat, and that movie proved it or showed it.
If you don't like that guy.
It makes you think twice about going to McDonald's. Yeah, how this was founded.
I'm telling you right now, if you don't like that guy, you're not going to like the dude that ended up with Coca-Cola either.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Well, I love the little history lesson we had there. Who doesn't like history on food?
It's a fantastic series. All right, we'll talk about sports next. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you would get? I think I said, were people before property?
People before property means to me that you care about the person more than you care about what they're buying, in that you want them to get the best thing for their circumstances, the best home, the best investment.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Visit them down there on 3rd Street. Give them a call, 580-225-6271 for all your real estate needs. West Oklahoma Realty is your spot. They are your people. Big games today in the district for Class 4-H District 4 on the baseball diamond. The Oaks will head to Weatherford in search of one win out of two games to seal up the district title. Elk City a perfect 10-0. Weatherford's 8-2. Clinton's 7-2. That seemed like a weird mark. They must have had a game rained out or something. That they might would have to make up.
If it's a district, or if it doesn't matter.
If it doesn't.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
is that a scenario? If it's not going to help or hurt you, then why play it?
That's right.
Or if it's not going to alter the district win or loss.
That's right.
So I don't.
The only way I think that they'd have to make that game up is if Weatherford sweeps the Elks.
I see what you're saying.
Because then it's a three-way tie.
Yeah.
They'd have to play that extra game to get to 8-2. Or, well, probably be 10-2 by that point. Because these are the last district series coming up today. Clinton will play Kingfisher. So it's kind of the top four in the district going at it here on the last week of district games. I'll be interested to see what happened. Elk City and Weatherford have already played. They played in the I-40 Classic. The Elks were able to get a win against the Eagles that day, 6-4. This will kind of test that theory of why do you think the Elks are the best in a two-game series? Because they may have the best guy, you know, with Cash and the way that he's able to pitch. So, you know, you got to be feeling good about it if you're the Elks, having him for one of the two games on the hill. And by the way, I'm pretty sure the game that Elk City won earlier in the year, they beat Weatherford's Ace that day. So, you know, you kind of got that going for you a little bit against the Eagles. But, you know, it's one of those things. And when you haven't done something for this long, it's been so long since the Elks have been in this position, 20 years. You wonder how the nerves and how the pressure builds if the game is close. But I think that'll be interesting. And then if you're Clinton, outside of the, you know, playing Kingfisher, you got to go ahead and take care of business just to have yourself in position to be ready to go with a tie if something happens and Weatherford sweeps the Elks.
I'm forgetting to see if they've played Kingfisher. I know they've been in the same tournament. I don't think they have.
Yeah, beat them 5-0.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't find it. I guess my eyes aren't working. Yeah, you're right. Same pressures on them, too, just to stay right there with the possible district title for them, too. Because what did we mention about the number two team? Regional probably at Blanchard? Is that what we...
Yeah, Blanchard beat Elk City 8-0 this week, or last week, Friday, I think.
Was that just a regular season
thing? Yeah, just
thing?
A game.
A game?
Mm-hmm.
I know Clinton's bounced back, so they've won their last three, beat more. They're at the Guthrie, just looking at OSSA rankings. They beat Morrison, Perkins Tryon, and it says they went up to Woodward on Saturday. So, yeah, two series that we'll keep our eyes on. Never easy to go to Weatherford.
No. Yeah, that'll be the first game today. We'll be there, and then the return game tomorrow. Here. It's the opposite for Clinton. They're going to be at home today and then go to Kingfisher tomorrow. Yeah, and then they got Woodward. Yeah, so they split the Woodward series. As far as the days, they played Saturday, then they're going to play at Clinton on what? Friday, the 22nd. And so, yeah, it may be one of those games that, well, I mean, unless Elk City sweeps Weatherford, I imagine the Eagles are going to want them to play that game. Nah, Clinton swept them, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe they'd have to lose to Kingfisher, you know, lose a couple of these to Kingfisher for that to matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be nice Friday anyway, but I was just kind of thinking about if you don't have to play it, you don't play it type scenarios before the bye district would start. But that's going to be at the end of what, next week or the week after? Next week.
Right.
And then the regional week. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So, I mean, just thinking about getting your pitching ready.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the whole week to rest. Rest up for probably next Thursday or next Friday when those bi-district tournaments start. So, but it'll be interesting. Be very, very interesting to see what happens. And you're right. Going over there, for me, it's thinking about for the Elks, you'd almost rather have that first one here, take care of business, and then not have to worry about going there and having a win. Mm-hmm. I guess you flip that around, and you're in your back pocket, you have a home game in case things don't go well today. So... I'm interested to see how good these three are kind of outside of just here.
Meaning outside the district?
Outside of the, yeah, when the regionals roll around, you know, the bye districts and the regionals, you know, kind of how the Elks have had their shot at Blanchard and Tuttle. Played Tuttle very, very close until that last inning, and all of a sudden now it looks like he got whipped, which wasn't the way that game went. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, 8-0 to Blanchard. You never know about what the pitching matchups were, but still, that doesn't look very good. Unless it was a game like that, where it was 1-0 and they scored 7 or whatever. But I'm just anxious to see how good these teams really are. Just one thing, once they have to kind of get out of the district, get some other team, you know, a little bit Big 12 basketball thoughts as far as are they beating each other up or are they not very good?
Yeah.
Or not, you know, at the top.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm anxious to see that too.
Man, we got a lot of playoffs starting.
Yeah, actually, small school is this week.
Yeah, that slow pitch softball takes today out here because of the chance of rain tomorrow. I think they've moved that up a day. I just read that this morning.
I believe it's crazy. Five-team district in Canute starting on Wednesday.
Whoa.
Yeah, I believe that's right. And then Canute baseball tomorrow. Doubleheader against Burns Flat. They move on. Of course, and if necessary, he's going to be in there somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, here we are mid-April, and playoffs already starting for the small school, and then next week for the larger schools, like we just mentioned. And then all of a sudden, it just stops.
Yeah, and it's summertime.
And then it's summer.
We were talking Friday about the Clippers taking on the Pelicans and how important that could possibly be for the future of the franchise at Oklahoma City. And things went as well as they could have. The Pellies knocked off the Clippers 105-101. So that means New Orleans is in the playoffs and the Clippers aren't. And that means that the Clippers' first-round pick becomes a lottery pick and it becomes the Thunder's second lottery pick. If everything went according to form, that would be the 12th pick. So if everything went exactly according to how the finishes were, the Thunder would get the 4th and the 12th. What I think is interesting is now, you know, there's always been, you know, the trade-up possibilities and that kind of thing, you know, and how two lottery picks make that a lot more possible than just having two outside the lottery and one in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I think, even if the Thunder don't get lottery luck, I do think this helps them out a lot more than where they were. You know, it doesn't seem like that much, but that pick moving up three spots, I think, makes it so much more valuable. And so now the opportunity to actually start doing some wheeling and dealing, if there's a guy that the Thunder want in that top, you know, last year it was obviously Mobley, and they couldn't figure out a way to get up to number three. With the Cavs, one, probably the Cavs wanted Mobley, which right. It looks like that was a fine pick. So, you know, that's the thing about these trades. We can sit here and think of great ones on the Thunder side all day long, but you got to have somebody that's willing to be in there with you making that deal. And maybe that extra lottery pick now makes that more possible if things don't go as well as you were hoping for in the lottery.
Yeah, you'd love to have that, and I'm curious to see what Presti does with it. I don't know if anyone – do you think anybody would bite on a trade opportunity for that 12th pick, that potential 12th,
if it's
whatever.
The 12th, I think it just totally – it depends on, you know, if somebody, say at 3, loves Jabari Smith – but doesn't necessarily like either of the other two. Well, one of them will be gone anyways. And if Smith is taken before it gets to Team B or whatever, then if, you know, either if it's Holmgren or Banchero or even Jaden Ivey, you know, if Oklahoma City really liked one of those guys that was there, another team didn't necessarily like them that much, you know, and I think it where they end up within the lottery will help or hurt this. You know, if they don't get lucky with the Clippers pick and it stays 12, and then they don't get lucky with their own pick and they end up with like 7 and 12, probably not. But if you were able, say you were 4, and you know, the team that's picking second or third, their guy's off the board, the one they really wanted, and they don't have faith in the other two or the other three that are there, then yeah, I think you could, if you had, you know, the fourth and the 12th to get to three or two, maybe that does work. And you still have the Phoenix pick that maybe not be all that valuable at the end of the first round, but you still have it that you don't necessarily need to use. I just don't see any way the Thunder are going to end up with three more rookies on the squad next year.
No, they would be back in the lottery. So could you see a situation where they package, say, the 12th? Not just for to move up, but maybe get someone else on this team. I'm talking for a player. Or maybe. Is that, you know what I mean? Or is that, are we just putting the cart way ahead of the horse on that one?
Maybe. I think you'd be more likely to see that next year.
Yeah.
Once you see what you got, you know.
Or even before the trade deadline, something.
Maybe something like that. Once you actually see, okay, you know, it's a month from today, you'll have so much more of an idea of what's possible. Because we'll be walking in here after the lottery happens. So then you know exactly what those picks are. And oh, by the way, who's ahead of you? And so you can start looking at, okay, if it's whoever, New Orleans, mm-hmm. Well, they've got a bunch of big dudes. Guards, okay, that seems like a spot for Ivy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you could kind of start looking at rosters and constructions of the other teams around you, and then would they do this, or is there a guy on a team that you could pluck away for right. that, you know, if and especially – I think that becomes really possible if they get really lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, if you end up with like the second and the fourth pick or something crazy like that.
Right.
Then you have a lot more, you know, bargaining power, and you have a lot more leverage, because then you're in position to take somebody you want and fleece somebody that wants another guy. You know? Mm-hmm. Or you take, you know, or you take two guys, whatever. But I think that's when, if the Thunder were able to get real, real, real lucky, not only will they get an impact player with one of those picks, then I think you could start seeing something like that happen, mm-hmm. where they, you know, maybe they don't want to pick Jaden Ivey because they've got a plethora of guards. Well, guess what? Somebody wants him, and that's where things could get pretty interesting.
Right.
With the draft for the Thunder, so good news after Friday with the extra lottery pick. Who knows? You never know. It's a long shot for that pick to really jump up, but if it does, you know, it's going to jump up minimum 8 spots to number 4 if it jumps up. So at that point, then, man, talk about anticipation. If you saw the Thunder weren't 12, then all of a sudden it gets exciting. To think, oh my gosh, I mean, it's possible they could be 1 and 2.
That is mind-blowing. It made me a little dizzy to think about that.
I mean, it's possible.
It is. Anything's possible in the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, they could be 8 and 12.
And that's possible, too.
It is, and probably more likely than even the top two. But that's what you don't have a chance to move up if you're not in the lottery. And with the Clippers losing, they are in the lottery.
Got to be in it to win it.
That's exactly right. So good news for the Thunder. NBA playoffs started this weekend. Only two road teams won, both in the West, right? Utah knocked off Dallas in game one. Dallas without Doncic probably for the next game, and then we'll see what happens when they go to Utah after that. And then also Minnesota. I think that was probably the surprise game of the weekend. A lot of people like Memphis. Memphis has been really good all year long. And Minnesota went in there and got it done. To win on the road. So the two Western Conference series.
Even with another distraction.
I know. Now we got people chaining. How the hell does somebody get a chain into an NBA game?
Right?
Side job, right? This lady knows somebody.
Is there not metal detectors at every venue you go to now like that?
I thought so.
How does that happen?
Chains herself to the goal.
Crazy. And it's the same cause, too, which is crazier. I mean,
is this going to happen every Minnesota game now? We're just going to follow them around and chain ourselves to things?
No, now it won't be, because I bet security will be heightened. You'd think it only happened in Minnesota, but this happened in Memphis. You know, they probably let their guard down. It was like, okay, we're not in Minnesota. We're not going to have a gluing incident again. So now anytime Minnesota's in town, at least for this playoff run, they're going to go, okay, we're going to check everybody for chains and glue. Crazy. People are crazy.
I mean, even more than that. I don't even know what the next word. It's just silly.
kudos, though, to Minnesota for the win.
Yes. And then the Celtics-Nets, we all knew that was, or hoped it would be good. My gosh, that game yesterday was awesome. You start to see as you watch the Nets, they're just a guy or two short.
Yep.
I don't know if that guy – I know defensively, Ben Simmons can be that guy. Offensively, I don't know. You know, Curry comes out and hits like two or three shots in the first couple of minutes, and then it didn't even feel like he was playing after that. You know, his Kyrie was awesome. KD wasn't that great for him. And the last play, Marcus Smart, with 3 seconds left, you know, a lot of times you see guys in that situation when they get the ball, 3 seconds left, they could kind of sense in their mind that the time is dwindling. They take that three from the – and it, rightfully so. He would have been justified taking that shot. He was open. The Nets were trying to close on him. Two guys jumped at him. He stepped right through and got the ball to Tatum just in time for a game-winning layup. Did you know – that was the 358th home playoff game for the Boston Celtics.
I did not know that, but I believe it.
That was the first time they've ever won on a buzzer.
Oh, wow. Well, that's something.
First time. Can you believe that?
No.
The first time ever they've won on a buzzer beater on a, in a game.
Think Larry Legend would have something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Wow.
In a home playoff game.
In front of Kyrie.
You know what? You know what I liked about that game? I liked the fact that after the Nets missed, with Durant missing the fadeaway three there, as the shot clock was down, what, 12 or 13 seconds left, whatever it was, they didn't call timeout.
Yeah.
They didn't allow Brooklyn to get back and get set, coming out of a timeout and you know, run a play. They just let it go.
Right.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I always like when that happens, because it just it seems like, you know, the advantage is with the offensive team, because they can, you know, you call plays on offense, and not more than, you know, defense you have an idea, but you don't let them get set. I love that they did that. I love that they just let it go, just let it play, and it worked out with kind of a scramble situation. This series is going to be awesome. The Nets are nowhere near done.
Well, but the storyline you were hoping for is happening, the whole Kyrie back to Boston thing.
And he was great. 12 of 20, 39 points, 6 of 10 from 3. I mean, he was fantastic. And honestly, you know, KD was the one that was a little bit shaky, turned it over a bunch in the early going in that game. Only 9 of 24 from the field. But you can see the issues for the Nets on offense, because Boston's one of the better defensive teams in the league, if not the best one. And they could put they could pour so many resources in to defending Durant and Irving that, you know, mere mortals would be flummoxed, and Kyrie was just on fire, right? I mean, you know what I mean? It was just one of those games where, you know, it wasn't necessarily the Celtics' lack of defense. It's just he was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But Durant wasn't able to have just enough to help, right? And it felt like he was really the one that they had a better plan for. When you watched it, they didn't let him get, you know, to a certain spots on the floor. We all know where those are. And it was just always like an extra guy running at him. If he get by one, there's another one right there. You know,
yeah.
And so that's where somebody else is going to have to hit shots. When you look up, Dragic, the bench was all pluses yesterday. But do they trust those guys enough down the stretch? Claxton missed two huge free throws there with the Nets ahead down the stretch. Kyrie was the only plus on the plus minus for the Nets starting lineup. and then the entire bench was plus. And a big part of that was an early run in the fourth quarter where the Nets came back, and I think it was 15-2 at one point to take the lead. But that was a fantastic game. It ought to be a fantastic series, and a bunch of these will be. Milwaukee was able to kind of squeeze past Chicago yesterday. Miami frustrated Trae Young and blew them out. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're looking at a fun playoff, and you've said it a couple of different times. It's almost easier to be a fan and sit back and enjoy it when you don't have a dog in the fight.
Right. You know, we didn't do, and I don't know if it's too late for you, but we didn't like really pick anybody out of the West, out of the East, who we think could be the favorites for each one and who could be the champion. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I think it's Phoenix in the West.
Okay.
Making a return trip. The East is way harder.
Yeah, it is.
You know, is it? I'm going to go Phoenix, and I'm going to go Milwaukee. Rematch.
Okay. I had a dream, and despite them losing, I know you don't like Memphis, but I can see them going on a run.
They're just that one team. They're the one that they've never been in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like a young team that hasn't really been in this spot, and you just don't see that happen very often.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like you think back to the Thunder runs, even what they did from 10 to 11, they got knocked out in the first round by the Lakers. Then the next year they were in the Western Conference Finals. You don't even see that leap happen. You know, think back to the Jordan Bulls teams. They had to grind their way through this to this to this, like taking stair steps. I wouldn't mind that, but I think it's gonna. They're the kind of the wild card team, right?
They're kind of hard to pick. It's hard to pick against them and Durant,
and then Minnesota's the same way. They haven't been there forever,
right? Yeah, but I'll lean slightly, not a heavy lean for Memphis. It's probably dumb, but it's a wild card, like you said. And I'm with you. I think Milwaukee on the out of the East.
I hope we get Miami versus Philly. No. It would be Miami. That's not right. It would be Miami against Milwaukee.
That'd be a fun one.
And then it would be Boston or Brooklyn against Philly. If that's the semifinals, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a grind. I actually think Phoenix is in great shape to win it all this year. Especially if they don't have to play Milwaukee, because they just really don't have anybody for Giannis. But in all the other teams, I think they would be fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't think they have anybody for Giannis if Milwaukee makes it there.
Right.
But they also aren't going to have the grinder. I mean, think about if Boston makes it to the finals. They're going to have to go through Brooklyn, Philly, and then Miami or Milwaukee. Man, that's three tough series in a row.
Yep.
Because they had to play the Nets in the first round. All right, we'll be back. Wrap it up on a Monday.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said is, what about, we're people before property.
People before property means to me that you care about the person more than you care about what they're buying, in that you want them to get the best thing for their circumstances, the best home, the best investment.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Wrapping it up here on a Monday. Okay, we're going to have to start with the Mel Kiper mock draft tomorrow. Hey, he might release another one before we ever get to this one.
Yeah, we'll have to reserve the first segment tomorrow with all of that.
Yeah, we'll have to.
No problem.
We haven't been able to get there.
No, we will. We got time. But we are running out of time. That draft snuck up on me. So a week from Thursday,
yes.
First round.
That's correct.
Well, yeah. We'll need to break that down. Here's a question you could ponder in the next 24 hours, 23 hours. Because I've been thinking about it, and I can't come up with a solution worth an answer. Who's the best quarterback in this draft?
Gosh. That's an
interesting. And who needs one? You know, who's going to go after this best quarterback? And who is it? What team is that? That's all things we could look at. It's not a quarterback friendly draft like it has been the last couple of years. And I've seen, it's funny because I've seen so many, I guess we can call them campaigns on social media from their schools saying this is the best quarterback. No, this is the best quarterback. And there's arguments for and against all of them. Like the dude from Cincinnati.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that's great and all, but you're let's face it, you're playing the American.
Yeah,
so that's the argument against it.
I think there's a
could he be good if he played for Ole Miss?
Right.
Would he have those win-loss records like he did at Cincinnati? Anyways, a lot of stuff we could break down in that regard. Then, you know, what does Dallas do?
You know, Drew and I were talking about that Saturday night.
This situation, I don't know what's going on.
Kelvin Joseph?
Yeah.
I'm afraid he's an accessory to murder, Jared.
Well,
that normally lands you prison time.
Okay. Outside of that horrible incident that you alluded to, does it influence the draft? Or do they stick with the game plan?
You would think that they would be looking at a pass rusher, like a guard, or a wide receiver, and then, of course, secondary. You can always use secondary help. You know, opposite of – you thought maybe you had that in Joseph, opposite of Trevon Diggs.
Yeah.
Or as a slot corner. Well, do you have that now? I'll tell you a guy that familiar to name – is a familiar name around here that could be a possibility.
Who's that?
Dax Hill.
Yeah.
Safety, slot corner, it feels like he might be able to play all of that.
Right.
Those guys, those versatile guys, well, you know who we saw kind of excel in that role at Pittsburgh was Trey Norwood.
Right.
The guy that, you know, kind of dogged at OU, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, man, that guy's playing for the Steelers. The Steelers are one of the best defenses there is on the field a bunch. So that could be a guy that you see. Stingley. I think I told you guys, I think I said it on the show after the 2019 season that he would be the number one pick in the draft whenever he came out. Well, he hadn't played since. He took a COVID year and he got hurt. You know, I mean, we haven't seen him.
Right.
And he seems like a guy that there's a lot of varying opinions on. Like, you know, for surefire top 10 to, man, could he fall clear in the mid-20s because of the unknowns?
Right.
You know, when he played, it's that freshman year, he was like, man, this dude, look at this guy. And then you hadn't seen him. It worked well last year for the Cowboys to draft a guy that set out for the COVID year.
That's true.
So that's a name that I think you're going to see fluctuating a bunch, the opinions on him and where he'll end up. Quarterback is interesting. If there is one that goes in the top 10, I think somebody talks himself into to Malik Willis and the talent.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, playing at Liberty can, you know, there's question marks for
that's
sure.
That's the question.
But I do think you see somebody talk themselves into Malik Willis.
But listen, he played at
Panthers
Liberty and was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knew about Liberty before him?
Cannon. I mean, he's kind of the guy that can get you, if you're the scout or if you're the guy that's standing on the table in the draft room making the call.
Yeah.
He's the guy that gets you a raise and a promotion. Or he gets you fired.
Yeah, it's a flyer. Yeah, it's a risk. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll hit a bunch of that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Also be able to wrap up or recap high school baseball for today.
Yeah.
We may know a lot more. Or there'll be a real pressure-packed game coming up tomorrow. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.